Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Let's stand together. We're going to read two verses and then we'll be seated. Ecclesiastes 12 and verse number 9. Beginning of verse number 9, the Bible says, "And moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yea, he gave good heed and sought out and set in order many proverbs. The preacher sought to find out acceptable words, and that which was written was upright, even words of truth." And I want to preach this morning on this subject, and I believe it applies to all of us. I hope that you'll listen on purpose. Young people, I hope that you'll just grasp hold of it this morning also. I want to preach on what to do with truth, what to do with truth. And we spend, preachers and pastors spend our entire year in the Bible and trying to be led by the Holy Spirit and write sermons and teach God's people and preach and help you to grow in the Lord. But you have to make a decision on what you're going to do with truth yourself. There's certainly a lot of error in the world today, a lot of false teaching in the world today online, on TV and so forth. And so I want to show you where we find truth, and then I want to challenge you on what to do with the truth that you find. All right, let's pray together. Lord, would you bless our time in your word this morning? Would you challenge us in this area? Help us, Lord, to know that there is still truth, that there is still a Bible, that there is still a way that mankind is supposed to live, that Christians are supposed to live, that it's not a bunch of gray area. It's not just our opinion and our philosophy and our translation, but that God, you have a word, you have a Bible that we are to live by. And so, Lord, help us to see that today. Help us to apply it to our life. And Lord, if somebody here is lost today, I pray they'll be saved. Help us today. Challenge us. Teach us. And we'll thank you for what you'll do. And we'll ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. It was Pilate, when he stood there with Jesus, that asked the question, "What is truth?" Hollywood actors, think about this. They make their millions by pretending, and yet so many people will take everything that an actor says as truth. Politicians will do just about anything to get a vote, and we all wonder which one of those politicians is telling us the truth. And unfortunately, many religious leaders today are speaking with eloquence. They're well spoken. They're more articulate than I am. But yet there are many that are not speaking truth. The Bible tells us in verse number 16, there's just one little letter there, but it says that their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. Okay, so there's a crowd out there today. And unfortunately, even some independent fundamental Baptists that during coronavirus, during COVID, they began to do online stuff and their popularity rose a little bit and they began podcasts and many of them really began to change because they noticed the popularity of who they are. They're sharp looking guys or again, they are very well spoken. But friend, listen, it doesn't matter if you're well spoken or if you're like me and you have trouble speaking, and even Paul had trouble with his speech. He said it there in the Bible. As long as you're preaching truth, that's fine. But if you're preaching or teaching error, then folks, you're gonna answer to God one day for that. So many are left asking the question today because of Hollywood or because of politicians or unfortunately because of some preachers. Many are left asking the question today: what is truth, and how can I know, preacher, that even you are telling me the truth? The preacher in Ecclesiastes 12 said this again in verse 9. "Moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yea, he gave good heed and sought out and set in order many proverbs. The preacher sought to find out acceptable words, And that which was written was upright, even words of truth. Now, if you're looking at that, I want you to notice what he says there again, that the preacher sought out to find acceptable words. Now, too many preachers today are seeking out acceptable words in the sense that they want it to be acceptable to the listeners. They don't want to offend anyone. They don't want to affect that paycheck or maybe that opportunity to stay at that church. And so they are seeking out acceptable words. And unfortunately, a lot of people sitting in churches only want to hear words that are easily acceptable or easy to be heard. But folks, the truth is not always easy to accept. Someone tells you your loved one's going to die. That's not, it's truth that they know they're going to die, but that's not easy to accept. And this book is full of good things that are easy to hear, and things about faith and heaven and surviving a storm and the miracles that God can do. And that's wonderful. But folks, this Bible is also full of truth that sometimes is hard to chew on and sometimes hard to accept. Well, what was happening in the Old Testament is there were a lot of people that didn't want to hear that hard preaching. In fact, Isaiah said in Isaiah 30 and verse 8, God said to Isaiah, "Now go, write it before them in a table, note it in a book that it may be for the time to come forever and ever, that this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord or the truth, which say to the seers, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things, speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceit." And so, That's what they said is, we don't want to hear that hard preaching. We don't want someone telling us how to live our life. We want to feel good. We want to feel pumped up. And when we leave church, we just want to leave with a smile on our face. We don't want to leave under conviction. I can tell you how to fix that. When you're under conviction, get your heart right with God at the altar, and you can leave here with a smile. But that's the way it was in the Old Testament, and that's the way it is in the New Testament day and age, or the church age that you and I live in, is there are many folks that don't like to hear truth when it's contrary to the way they're living, or they don't want to hear truth when it offends them. So they'll find a church somewhere where the guy gets up and he's a well-spoken motivational speaker and says things from the Bible. But the problem is what they don't say. And they don't want to get on sin and name sin and don't want to bother people. But God said that I want my preachers to lift up your voice like a trumpet and show my people their sins. And so in 1 Kings 22, let me read you a passage here. You can turn there if you want, but I'm going to read you a passage between, and it's a conversation between the split, Israel being split, the northern kingdom, the southern kingdom. It's a conversation between the two kings of those kingdoms, Ahab over Israel, and at this point in 1 Kings 22, it is Jehoshaphat over Judah. Okay, and they teamed up, and they were going to have a war. The Bible says in 1 Kings 22 and verse 1, "And they continued 3 years without war between Syria and Israel. And it came to pass in the third year that Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, came down to the king of Israel," which was Ahab at the moment. "The king of Israel said unto his servants, Know ye that Ramoth in Gilead is ours, and we be still, and take it not out of the hand of the king of Syria? And he said unto Jehoshaphat, Wilt thou go with me to battle to Ramoth Gilead? And Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, I am as thou art, my people as thy people, my horses as thy horses. And Jehoshaphat said unto the king of Israel, Inquire, I pray thee, at the word of the Lord today." All right, so this is Israel in a divided kingdom. We've seen that as we've preached through 1 Kings, as we started preaching through 1 Kings. But the northern and southern kingdom here, they were going to team up to fight against Syria. The kings were going to join up and fight together. So Jehoshaphat says to King Ahab, "Why don't we pray and ask God what he thinks?" Then the king of Israel, Ahab, gathered the prophets together, about 400 men, and said unto them, "Shall I go against Ramoth Gilead to battle, or shall I forbear? You're the men of God. Tell me what God says." And they said, "Go up, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king." And Jehoshaphat, listen to what he said. He said, is there not here a prophet of the Lord besides, that we may inquire of him? And so Jehoshaphat had enough wisdom to look at 400 preachers and say, they're not real men of God. They're just telling you what you want to hear so you give a good offering. They're telling you what you want to hear so you can build their church. They're telling you what you want to hear because they want to build their popularity. And so he says, is there not a real man of God, if you will? Is there not a man of God besides your 400 that kiss up to you? Is there not a real man of God who will speak truth to us? And listen to what Ahab says. King of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, there is yet one man, Micaiah, the son of Imla, by whom we may inquire of the Lord. He'll tell me the truth, but I hate him. But I hate him. But what did he do? Did he ruin your marriage? No. What did he do? Did he take steal money from you? No. What did he do? Did he cross you? Does he owe you something? No, no. He says, but I hate him, for he doth not prophesy good concerning me, but evil. We'll move on for sake of time, but later they bring Micaiah in and they said, hey, listen, talk smoothly to Ahab. I mean, you know, preacher, I brought a visitor today. Don't preach on tithing today. I mean, preacher, this is one time I finally got people to come to church. Do you have to preach on hell? Don't you have a backup in the back of your Bible for when visitors come and preach on joy or whatever? We're to preach the full counsel of the Word of God. And they told him, they said, hey, just this one time, say something smooth to Ahab. And I love what the preacher said. He said, as the Lord liveth, what the Lord saith unto me, that will I speak. So in our text in Ecclesiastes 12, King Solomon here tells us what truth is. Okay, he's going to tell us what truth is. Look at verse number 10. The preacher sought out acceptable words. And here's the truth. And that which was written was upright, even words of truth. All right, so in this world today, let's just focus in on Christianity. And I'm painting that with a broad brush, but Christianity or religion. And you may have your favorite preacher. You may have the people that you hate. You may have the people that you don't like to listen to. But you say, preacher, what is truth? There are so many. If you've knocked on people's doors, tell them about the Lord. They say, well, y'all believe that, and they believe that, and that group believes that. I mean, what is truth? I tell you, look, here's what truth is. That which is written. Now, we're going to take it a step further in just a minute. But that which is written. Jesus said this in John 17 and verse number 17. Sanctify them through thy truth. He's praying to God. Thy word is truth. If I want to know how God sees it, I'm going to look in this Bible. If I want to know how I'm supposed to live my life, I want to look into this Bible. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 2 and 15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You don't have to be confused. It's not a guessing game. You have the truth if you're holding a Bible in your hand. Now, because truth comes from the Word of God, the devil has worked overtime to destroy man's faith in the Bible by corrupting many Bibles. When I was in high school, I used to have, of course, Brother Greg works in our children's church there. He and I have known each other since the third grade. We grew up together, so we've known each other for about 40 years. But and he's always been, his mother was in our church when we were little kids, and his parents wound up in a divorce. And even my dad helped his dad down the road when his dad was struggling in areas of his life. But I had several friends there, Wills Point Public School. And one of my friends, who I actually wound up, when I went to A&M, we were roommates there at A&M, but he was a Catholic, still is to this day. And so we would talk about things, and we would talk about certain things that the Bible teaches. And here's what he would tell me. Now listen, folks, here's what he would tell me. Well, you have your Bible, and I have mine. If you're holding a King James Bible, not an NKJV, But a King James, authorized King James Bible, 1611 Bible, in Matthew 18 and verse number 11, the Bible says, "For the Son of Man is come to save that which is lost." That's a pretty important verse, isn't it? Pretty important verse. I looked up most popular Bible translations 2023. Number one is the NIV. Number two is the old King James Bible. Number three is the ESV, which is the English Standard Version. If you're holding an NIV, you do not have Matthew 18:11 in your Bible today. If you're holding an ESV, you do not have Matthew 18:11 in your Bible. Now, I'm not trying to offend you, because we live in a world today where people are using the Bible they've used all their life and no one's ever taught them any differently. But I'm here to tell you those Bibles are corrupted, corrupted Bibles. If you have a Bible this morning, why don't you turn to Acts chapter number 8? And by the way, we could spend the next 2 or 3 hours just giving you verses and verses and verses and verses and verses that are left out of these other translations of the Bible. And you'll have a footnote somewhere, and it'll say, well, some of the other Bibles have this verse, but the older, more reliable manuscripts, they didn't have this. Well, just because it's older doesn't make it more reliable. And that's a whole teaching in and of itself. But don't let that, that sounds very smart, so I must have to believe it. You know, the Bible talks about our faith. It's like the simplicity which is in Christ. It's like childlike faith. So God didn't expect all of us to have doctorates to understand we're holding the preserved Word of God in our hand. Look at Acts chapter 8. I'll show you quickly if you have a wrong translation of the Bible. And by the way, if you do, we certainly can help get you an authorized King James Bible. I'm not ashamed of the fact that we used the King James 1611 Bible. Now, I had one time, and you can differ in opinion with me on this one, but I had one time a kid somewhere, bus ministry or something, that had a Bible that was whatever it was. It wasn't King James. And a teacher came to me and said, well, I got him another Bible. I said, that's great. And he said, well, I'll probably take this and chunk it. I said, no, let me look at it. I opened it up, and that Bible was given to him by their grandparent. Again, you could differ with me if you want to. But I said, no, we're not throwing away a gift that was given by a grandparent to a kid. Let's teach them a right way. But if you want to offend a whole family, throw away grandma's Bible that she gave this kid before grandma died. There's difference between just being the spiritual giant you think you are and having enough wisdom and grace to deal with people the right way. And so if I can help you, I certainly would help you to get a another Bible. But look at Acts chapter 8, and I'm going to give you just one more sample here, and we're going to move on. But in Acts chapter number 8, this fellow is being witnessed to. He needs to be saved. And we're going to pick up in verse 35. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? If you have a corrupted version of the Bible, you do not have this statement. And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. If you have a corrupted Bible, you did not just read that statement with me. The very next verse says, and he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. Okay? So the corrupted versions, the guy says, hey, there's water. What's hindering me from being baptized? And the corrupted versions say that Philip hit the brakes, nothing. Let's go right now. And he baptized him. And that backs up a baptismal salvation or baptismal regeneration. Isn't it amazing? You say, well, there's other places in my Bible that talks about salvation is through Christ. Well, the devil knows. You can't turn the Bible into a Dr. Seuss book and expect anybody with half a brain to believe that'd be the Word of God. But if the foundations be destroyed, he's just little by little changing. And if you did the study, it's amazing that what's being changed is the doctrine of Christ. What's being watered down is the doctrine of Christ. So now you have confusion because you have one chapter that says, call upon the name of the Lord and thou shalt be saved. And you have another chapter that says, hey, I need to be saved. And he preaches Jesus and he says, hey, I guess salvation is baptism. So let's just be baptized because the other verse is taken out. And they say the more reliable, isn't it amazing? The more reliable manuscripts that produce these Bibles took out a bunch of verses about Jesus. And some of those manuscripts were found under basically the oversight of the Catholics. There's more of the story. It's just not being taught today. So I just simply want you to know, okay, if we, and isn't it amazing that as the devil has corrupted these Bibles since the 1800s has corrupted these Bibles. Isn't it amazing? We've gone to these churches now that are dark on the inside that you couldn't even read your own Bible if you wanted to. And if a pastor ever stood up and said, hey, let's read in unison, what would there be? Confusion. Confusion. The devil's winning that battle. And I can't do anything about other people, but what I can do is show us today that there is truth and it's found in our inspired, that means God breathed, preserved Word of God. This King James Bible is the English Bible for an English speaking people. I believe God breathed it to all of these writers here in the book. And I believe that God could not just inspire His Word, not just give it, but preserve it for every generation. I still believe we have an every word Bible. We don't prefer this particular English Bible. This is the English Bible. And it is God's very Word. And if I could just let you in on a little bit, I don't study out of other versions. How can I? If I ever look at another one, it's just to see what's missing. But it just reads better. We don't even have time to get into all that because I need to get to the points. But they use words in some of those other versions, and you're like, how is that more simple? We're dumbing down society and we're dumbing down Christianity today. There's a little word there we don't like. Study. Study. God wants you to get in your own Bible and learn the Bible. All right, so the question is, what do we do with truth? I got ahead of myself. Number one is this, learn it. Learn it. Okay, learn what the Bible says. That means you need to be reading it on your own. You say, "Well, I'm not that edumacated." Hey, listen, God knows who you are. Not everybody has a Bible college degree, and not everyone has the ability to focus and study and. But God will give you enough. Give us this day our daily bread. Just give me something, Lord, that I can live on today. And if you'll be faithful to church and sit in Sunday school and sit under preaching and maybe go to a men's retreat from time to time or a ladies retreat from time to time. Now I'm telling you, you'll learn what the Bible says. The Bible tells us in Matthew 22 and in verse number 29, Jesus answered and said unto them, ye do err not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God. Be careful about stating facts because it's something you believe. Well, that's just the way I've always seen it, and it's not in the Bible. Well, it's just not the God I believe in. Well, how can we believe in anything that's not the God of the Bible? We cannot, just because I believe differently than what the Bible says is not going to make it true. I'm serving a false God if that's the case. So we have to know that we have truth, which is the Word of God. And then in this plethora of versions that are out there, Which one's right? And I'm telling you, I believe, after studying it for years and preaching it now for years, I still believe we have a preserved Word of God, and I still believe it is my King James Bible. Now, if you've spent money on something else, again, we'll help you as a church. I know Bibles, a good Bible can be expensive, $60, $70, $80, $100, you know, for good Bibles, and I want to help you because, boy, it's so important. If you're going to learn truth, you're going to have the truth sitting in your hand with no scriptures missing. The Bible says in John 8 and in verse number 30, and he spake these words, as he spake these words, many believed on him. And then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him. So those that got saved, he says, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Okay, so God wants his people to be in his word. And boy, knowing the truth and learning the truth of his word. Again, we read it a moment ago. But study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Young people, look up here at me for a minute. If you've got time to play video games, you've got time to learn the word of God. If you've got time to watch movies, you've got time to learn the word of God. If you've got time to have ear pods and earbuds stuffed into your ear with constant sound, constant music, constant noise, you know what you've got time to do? You've got time to learn the word of God. Learn from people. I've pastored for a long time now, but I read and read and read, and I'm not that great on comprehension. I've never been. Miss Ogden is great at it. Joshua is great at it. They can read something one time and give you some of the most uninteresting facts you've ever heard of in all your life. I could tell her a joke. She'll say, well, I mean, that really wouldn't work because a horse's tail is rather, just laugh at the joke. I have a hard time with comprehension. I'm one of those when I was in college and they're like, you know, this book is due by the 19th. I'm reading that book on the 18th and a half, man. I'm up. Can I get a witness? Amen. I'm up all night reading that book because I don't want to lie on the exam and say that I read it. And they're going to test you. But I have the hardest time. I remember when our kids were homeschooled, Miss Odd would be like, just read it. And I'd be like, read the questions ahead of time and then go read the book. She's like, no, you need to read the book and comprehend the book. I said, just read the questions, then you'll know what you're looking for. Is anybody with me on this? Read the questions at the end. You'll know what you're looking for in the book. It just helped me over the years. All right? Now, young people, listen to me. Listen to me. You need to learn the Bible. Or you're going to grow up with this philosophy in this world today. You know who most of the protesters are? I don't mean to be unkind, but a lot of times it's a bunch of dumb young adults who don't know what they're even talking about. They just want to protest something. And they've had some college professor, some liberal out there that fills their mind full of this and that and this and that. And they're going to go glue themselves to a street somewhere. There's dumb act number one. You need to learn truth. And do you know it tells us here in 2 Timothy 3 and verse number 15, Paul says to Timothy, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All right? From a child. Someone once said this, learn the Bible while you are young, and when you are old, you'll draw from it like a well of water. The psalmist said, thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. The best way to keep yourself from falling for some false teaching out there is to know what the Bible actually says. Young people, are you listening? Remember what that one king said? I hate that guy. He'll tell you the truth, but I hate him, man. I don't want to hear all that. Young people, if you'll learn your Bible, you'll learn that guys aren't supposed to be married to guys. And girls aren't supposed to be married to girls. And that God created you young men. He created you as a young man. And God expects you to stay a young man. And in God's eyes, you always will be a young man. And young ladies, God created you as a young lady. And you will always be a young lady. And by the way, that is an honorable position. You'd know that if you learned your Bible. You would know that guys are not supposed to dress like girls and girls are not supposed to dress like guys. That's not just the meanness of this fundamental Baptist preacher. It's learning the truth of the Word of God. This Bible will straighten all of us out. What do we do with truth? Number one, learn it. Number two, live it. If you learn it but you refuse to live it, you're no different than a Pharisee. So if we go out here like Barney Fife with one bullet in our pocket, and we go to the next family gathering and decide we're just going to have this big old debate over the King James Bible. By the way, you've heard me say it before. Don't do that. You're not there to fight over dress standards or sodomy or King James Bible. You're there to eat a turkey leg, watch a football game, eat a bunch of desserts, see the pictures of everybody's kids, and go home. Not to fight over parenting styles, not to fight over Bibles. Not, we need to see, preaching is one thing, but we need to see people saved. All right, not our. So it doesn't do you any good, guy. Well, you know, y'all living in adultery because my Bible taught me that y'all living in adultery, and I was letting y'all know that. Okay. Well, you know, the Bible also says that if a man looketh on a woman to lust after her, he hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. Okay, so before you go to the family gathering and take your spiritual giantedness, that's the word, and you proceed to say, well, you know, y'all living in adultery and it's just not right. Okay. If you've looked at a lady and lusted over that lady, you've done exactly what they're doing, shacking up in that house. You need to get your heart right with God. Okay, so it's not enough to learn the Bible. When we learn the Bible, but we're not living it, we're pushing people further away from Christ. Because today, I don't know about you, I'm a little stuffy. I'm not too tired, but I could easily have made today a day of rest and just say, you know what, I'm going to stay home. And if we go out tomorrow and live just like the world did, they got a day of rest, we were in church all day, they're going to say, see, why should I go to church? You're late to work. Why should I go to church? You're sitting on your cell phone while you're being paid to work. Why should I go to church? You have a sorry attitude. You got the worst attitude in this building. And you claim you went to church on Sunday? It's not enough just to learn the truth. Folks, we're to live the truth. Also, in the book of Romans, let me just read it to you. But in the Gospels, especially in Matthew, Jesus, boy, he got onto the Pharisees hard, didn't he? I'm not quoting, but what he said about those Pharisees who knew the law, who learned the law, but they weren't living it. He said, hey, all that they tell you, all that they bid you do, but do not under their works. He said, you do what they say, but don't do what they're doing. Because these guys, oh, I know my Bible. But if you watch their lifestyle, they're not living what they've learned. And Paul comes back in Romans, and man, he really gets onto those Pharisees. He says in Romans 2, verse 17, behold, thou art called a Jew, and restest in the law, and makest thy boast of God. I know my Bible, and I've got a relationship with God, and knowest his will, and approvest the things that are more excellent, being instructed out of the law. Listen to this. It says, and you think you're confident in who you are, and you're just a spiritual giant. He said, thou therefore, which teachest another, teachest thou not thyself? Thou that preachest a man should not steal, dost thou steal? Thou that sayest a man should not commit adultery, dost thou commit adultery? Thou that abhorrest idols, dost thou commit sacrilege? Thou that makest thy boast of the law, through breaking the law, dishonorest thou God? He says, you may have learned it, but you're not living it. And then he makes a statement. He says, for the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you. I tell you what, there are folks that if you get them in a conversation, they'll say, I don't go to that church because of that preacher. They'll say it. They don't like something I stood for. They don't like the fact that maybe I had to stand against their family, but they will not say, I don't go to that church because that preacher's a crook or a liar. I don't go to that church because that pastor, oh, their family may have fell apart and they may want to blame it on fundamentalism. And so it's, you know, the pastors are going to be the leaders in that criticism. God's bigger than any of those cowards. I don't worry about that stuff. But I've protected this flock from certain people and certain families. Yes, so there are haters out there, no doubt about it. There are people out there that hate my guts. But they cannot say he robbed me. They cannot say he lied to me. They cannot say, well, he messed around with my wife. They cannot say, well, he hurt our family. They can't say outside of leadership taking a stand for truth and protecting this church against the wolves that are within and that are without, they can't say, well, I don't go to that church because that pastor up there, man, he's a flat-out hypocrite. He preaches on Sunday, but I'm telling you what, that's not the life he lives the other days of the week. It's not good enough just to learn it. We have to live it. We need to learn the Bible, but then we need to live what we've learned. And Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. John the Beloved said this, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. What to do with truth? Number one, learn it. Let's get in our Bible so we can learn it. Number two, let's live it, because what's the point in learning it if we're not going to live it? We're just a Pharisee if we do that. What to do with truth? Number three, love it. Love it. We live in a world today of many professing Christians who don't love truth. You know the Bible says that, right? Why do y'all do that at your church? We believe it's what the Bible teaches. Are you even trying to learn what the Bible actually says? Are you even trying to live what the Bible says? Or do you just not love truth? Paul said to Timothy, a preacher, he said, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. You preach when you feel like it, you preach when you don't. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. And look up here, folks, and this is what happens. I'll say, here's what the Bible says. And the Bible says here, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth. And shall be turned unto fables. What is that? That's playing pretend. That's pretending like me and God got a good thing going, but yet I'm living in sin and filth. And that's playing pretend. If you're a child of God, God expects you to learn his word. If you're a child of God, God expects you to live his word. And the way we're going to learn it and the way we're going to live it is if we start loving it. The psalmist said this in Psalm 119:97. Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Verse 113, I hate vain thoughts, but thy law do I love. For verse 140, thy word is very pure. Therefore thy servant loveth it. Folks, when you love something, you value it. You hang on to it. I've known people over the years that will buy things or have things given to them, and anytime they need a dollar, they'll run to the pawn shop. And I hate that. We have to value some things in our life. My bow that I hunt with, I went hunting on Wednesday, and I have a Matthews bow, and Miss Audie, my wife, bought that for me back in 2008 or 2009. So, man, it's 15 years old, still works, rarely gets shot, but it still works. But friend, listen, I value that because that was a gift that was given to me by my wife. I'm not going to go out and pawn it for $30 and just be done with it. And folks, listen, we ought to love the truth that much. The Bible says in Proverbs 23:23, buy the truth and sell it not. Learn to love your Bible. I love the Word of God, man. It's after all these years of preparing sermons, and it's always fresh. It's a living book. There's always good stuff you can get out of the Bible. What chart can you trust for a guide for your soul? When tempests would strand you on some treacherous shore, What compass will point you to heaven's bright door, God's wonderful book, divine? I love the old Bible, the old King James Bible. Light on my pathway it shines. It makes me so happy, always so happy. God's wonderful book, divine. This book ought to be your constant companion. I told you before, my dad gave me a Bible back in 1992. I had just finished my junior year in high school, and he gave me a Bible, one that he had preached out of for a while, and I still have it in my office there. And he wrote in it, and I know that final part I have memorized, and I've used it many times in preaching. And he said, "Son, never give up on the one who gave up so much for you." But I had that Bible this morning. I was looking up something else, and I went back, and I actually saw, I had some autographs in there, Carl Hatch and Lee Robertson and Jack Hiles. Like, man, that I don't know how I got some of those way back in the day. But I'm looking at some things there, and I went back to where he had written that 31 years ago now, and surprisingly, you know what it said? One of the phrases he wrote in there, it says, "Son, in all your trials and troubles in life, that Bible, this book, is going to be your constant companion." We need to fall in love with the Bible. Not leave it on the pew for Wednesday night service. Not leave it on the dashboard in 114. You say, "Well, I got another Bible at home." I'd be embarrassed to just leave my, and have people think that I don't care until Wednesday night. I'd be embarrassed to leave my kid before. No, not really. But man, we need to love the Bible. I'm not talking about it as an idol. I'm talking about the content that's in it. I don't want this thing baking in my windshield during the summer. I don't want it freezing in the back seat of my, I want it right there by my nightstand. I want it where I can read it and study it. And folks, listen, what do we do with truth? We learn it. We live it. We love it. And the last thing, what do we do with truth? We leave it. You say, "Preacher, we're not supposed to leave the truth." Yes, we are. The Bible says, "The things which thou hast learned of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." We're supposed to be passing the truth along to our kids. I'm not trying to preach offensively this morning, and it would sound like that, I guess, if you haven't heard preaching before, but when in our world did we get to a place where kids get to make the choice if they go to church? I tell you how that happens is because if mom and dad are in and out a lot, kids get used to being in and out or not a lot, and then mom or dad decides all of a sudden, "Now we're back in," and then it's like, "Well, now my kids are used to not." We need to just get in the book, get in the house of God, take our kids to Sunday school, put them in that youth group, teach it at home, learn the Bible, live the Bible, love the Bible. But how are your kids not going to grow up to be contrary to God's word if they never hear God's word taught? Pass the truth on to your kids and grandkids. What did Paul say to Timothy? He said, "I when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, but which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice." Pass the truth on to your kids and grandkids. Heard a story, now I'm not sure who it was, but I heard a story this week. I don't know if it happened this week or if it's going to happen during Christmas. But one of our grandmothers who said, I wrote my testimony down of my salvation because I want to share that testimony with my family. And folks, listen, they may not come to your church. They may not choose your Bible. They may not choose your standards. They may not choose your way of living. But God help us if our grandkids die and go to hell and never hear the gospel from a grandmother or grandfather that supposedly loves them. God help us if our kids grow up in a world where they walk into a stall and a young lady doesn't know if a guy is going to be in the other stall, because we're not going to offend anybody today. And yet we as parents never took the time to make sure they sat in Sunday school and learned how to live their life. We never took the time to buy them a Bible. Oh, we made sure for Christmas they had the latest and greatest video game or the latest and greatest phone or the latest and greatest tablet. But friend, listen, more than money, more than games, more than pictures, more than stories, what our kids need left for them is that Bible right there, an heritage, a godly heritage. And this is the way we're going to live our life. And this is the way you ought to live your life. And when they get to be adults, hopefully, we've trained them up in the way they should go. And when they're old, they'll not depart from it. What scares me about that verse is I think a lot of times they're not departing from exactly what we taught them. Skip from church to church to church. Stay mad at the preacher. Gossip about everybody in church half the time. And be mad at everybody in church. And I'm afraid that a lot of them just said, I'm not going to do anything. I'm not going to mess with any of that. And I'm not saying this to be mean. I think that's the case in a lot of places. They weren't taught to be faithful. They weren't taught to do it. There was excuses always made. Every time a preacher would preach, mom would try to explain away what he preached, or dad would explain away. Well, that's one way. And I think sometimes kids grow up and they say, man, I just don't want anything to do. I'm just going to steer clear of church altogether. That's sad. We need to pass the truth on to our kids and grandkids. Many of you have, and then your kids turn from it. You know what? You gave them a foundation, and you hope one day they'll return to that foundation. We need to teach the Bible to others. Thank God for Sunday school teachers, and thank God for those that disciple others. We're talking about leaving the truth. How about giving the gospel to the lost? What an opportunity we have here at Christmas time. We have Christmas tracts back there on the table. What an opportunity we have to give the gospel to the lost during the holidays. You know, it's not like you're going anywhere in that line, right? Leave hope. Leave truth for the next generation. I know you've heard it said before, this book will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from this book. I'm sorry I'm boring some of you adults enough to yawn out loud while I'm preaching. I did that by accident one time. My wife nearly killed me. I couldn't hear it. I was like, she's like, don't yawn out loud. Like, well, he's taking forever. I know this is simple, but folks, the Christian life's not hard. We make it hard. We make it as simple as any of us can make it this morning. The Bible. Yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone. Not on Trump's philosophy, not on MAGA philosophy, not on the podcast, not on all this stuff, not on what they think and what they... And we let everybody guide our thinking. Oh, they believe that now, so I ought to believe that now. They ain't going to do what they want. I stand alone on the Word of God. The, not a Word of God, the Word of God, the Bible. If the translation thing is first time you're hearing it or something, I do have books you can borrow that you could do a study on your own. Certainly not trying to upset you, but we've got to get back to a place where we understand that God is not the author of confusion. And he didn't say to one Ethiopian eunuch, just go get baptized. And the other, well, you need to have faith in Christ first. He gave us a preserved word, all right? What to do with truth.